More than 3,200 Vermont middle schoolers voted for this year's Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award, and it was a tight race. But in the end, El Defo was a clear winner. El Defo is the second graphic novel to win the award in its 60-year history. The first was Smile by Raina Telgemeier in 2012. And El Defo author and illustrator Cece Bell says that book inspired her to create El Defo.
I have a lot to be grateful for in terms of Raina Telgemeier's work. She's been very, very inspirational, and we've actually become very good friends, which has been the icing on the cake for me.
Both Smile and El Defo are autobiographical, and Bell says until she read Smile, she hadn't hit on the best way to tell her own story.
I had been putting off this story for a long time. I had been telling a lot of the stories that are featured in the book. I had been telling a lot of people these stories over the years, and I always got people laughing. I knew it was a good story. And then later, I happened to read Raina Telgemeier's book, Smile. And once I saw that, I realized that the graphic novel format was perfect for my personal story. And I think I was just waiting for the right format to come along.
Belle's personal story starts when she contracts meningitis as a preschooler and loses her hearing. In El Defo, Cece and other characters are pictured as rabbits. Belle says that was an important choice.
The reason for that is that rabbits have very, very big ears, and they can hear really well. And I was trying to create this visual metaphor of being the only rabbit in an entire school of rabbits whose giant ears were there and visible, but they did not work. They were broken. It was effective to have the ears really long and on top of my head because the cords that were connected to my hearing aid that went more to the sides of my head in real life, to my ears. In the book, those cords go all the way up over my head and are very, very visible, which is closer to how I felt. I felt very conspicuous and like everyone was looking at me. So that kind of fit really well.
And there's another reason.
Also, bunnies are cute, and you can't go wrong with bunny rabbits.
The Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award is one of many honors Belle has earned for writing El Defo, including a Newbery honor, but she didn't start out as a writer.
For a long time, I worked as a freelance designer and illustrator and with sort of a dream to get into children's books. And every now and then would send out illustrations to publishers and just kept getting rejected. Nobody liked my stuff enough to have me illustrate their books. So I read somewhere that I would more likely get into children's books if I did both the writing and the illustrating. So I thought, all right, I'll try writing a book. And that's what I did. My first book was called Sock Monkey Goes to Hollywood. It was published in 2003. That was kind of my path towards children's books. But I sort of happily fell into the writing part and ended up loving the writing part, maybe even more than the illustrating part, which is kind of a surprise to me still.
Belle's ability to tell her story in words and pictures really connected with Richmond fourth grader Hannah Dietrich.
This is a really funny book and, like, has a meaning to it and a moral. And, like, it really tells you if you're, like, someone different from the world.
Books that challenge kids to think and react with the story are a priority for the adults who choose the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award nominees that young readers vote upon. We sat down with Award Committee Chairperson Hannah Peacock and Vermont Department of Libraries Youth Services Consultant Sharon Colvin to find out some of the books on the new list. There are four graphic novels on the new list. Colvin says she likes Roller Girl by Victoria Jameson.
This is about a 12-year-old girl who is trying to find herself. She has kind of a struggle with a friend. She has a best friend. They do everything together. And this summer, the main character wants to do roller derby camp. And the other friend says, no, I want to do dance camp. And it's like, well, how can we be friends if we're not doing everything together? And, you know, every child can relate to that kind of struggle. And it's also got this wonderful girl power message. You know, she's 12 and she's out there roller skating and playing roller derby, which is an intense sport. I highly, highly, highly recommend this one.
One of Peacock's picks is Shadows of Sherwood by Vermont author Kekla Magoon.
And this is the first in a series. It's called the Robin Hoodlum series. It's a little bit of a Big Brother society. It's a modern Robin Hood tale because Robin Hoodlum becomes sort of the one who helps the poor by stealing from the rich a little bit, as Robin Hood goes. And so she finds a couple of other kids who are runaways for different reasons from the poorer side of town. And they sort of band together to figure out how to fight the corrupt government.
Alex Gino's novel George is also nominated for next year's Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award. For Colvin, the selection of this particular book makes her proud and excited.
And the reason is this is a very cutting edge topic. It's about a fourth grader transgender child. This child's name is George, but George was born a boy but feels like a girl. And it's a very innocent book. There is nothing sexual about this book. It's just about identity. And this whole story is adorable. The school is putting on a play of Charlotte's Web, and George really, really wants to play Charlotte. And, you know, George's teachers and family are just not, they don't understand what's going on. And George confides in a best friend who's fantastic, and they really talk about what does it mean to be a girl and, you know, how can I explain this to people? And so they craft this elaborate plan so that George is able to play Charlotte in the school play.
And speaking of Charlotte's Web, Peacock's next pick is often compared to that children's classic. It's called Escape from Baxter's Barn by first-time author Rebecca Bond, who also illustrates the book.
It's a book about team of animals in a barn, including a house cat who sneaks out to sleep in the warm house and overhears some terrible news about how one of the brothers who owned Baxter's barn is going to burn it down. So the cat Burdock goes back and tells the other animals, we have to do something, and they just work together. There's like two massive horses, an old aging cow, Mrs. Brown, a couple of goats and a sheep, and a barn owl joins them at some point, and they just figure out a way to get out of this situation. And it's such a great book about celebrating our strengths and weaknesses, who can do what, and communication and friendship. And I think younger kids are going to love it, and older kids will enjoy it, but it's really a great book for the younger crowd.
Colvin says her next pick is a good read for all ages, including adults. It's called The Lightning Queen by Laura Riesau.
She's a phenomenal author. So this is a story about a boy named Teo who lives in the United States, but his grandfather lives in Oaxaca. And one summer when he's there, his grandfather pulls him aside and says, hey, I need your help. And he starts telling them this really involved, intricate, fantastic story about the Lightning Queen. And Teo's not sure how much of it is true and how much of it is, you know, a little bit of fantasy. But he tells a story about this gypsy girl who came to Oaxaca and was a fortune teller and all this fantastic stuff, and he fell in love with this girl. And so now he wants help tracking her down.
Dorothy Canfield Fisher nominees are grouped by books appropriate for different ages, from fourth grade through eighth grade. One of the books that Peacock recommends for older kids is I Am Princess X by Sherry Priest. The book starts with two friends, Libby and May, who create a comic book series together about Princess X. A few years later, Libby goes missing and is presumed dead.
And then as time goes on, they realize that there's more to this story. So 3 years later, so now that May's in high school, she starts seeing little stickers and patches all around town from her comic book. And she's like, who has this? Where did they get it? So it turns out it's been online for years. The comic book is now online and the story is going on. And she has to get to the bottom of what happened. Is Libby really dead? Who has her stuff? And what happens? And they get involved in the dark side of the internet pretty quickly. Her neighbor becomes her ally and helps her out. And it's pretty scary. It talks all about how dangerous the internet can be. But it's also a great story about friendship and perseverance and art and storytelling.
Art and storytelling are at the heart of the Dorothy Canfield Fisher program, encouraging middle grade students to read and inhabit stories that teach them about other people's lives and experiences. The books that Peacock and Colvin describe are among the 30 books nominated for next year's Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award, and Vermont middle school students will spend the next year reading them. In the spring, they'll vote for the book that will join Elle Defo as winner of the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award. And before we go, there's one more winner to announce. This year, the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Book Award held a contest for students to design a new logo. And the winning logo was designed by Destiny Shealy, a seventh grader in Richford. You can see her logo of kids reading around a tree that has books for leaves and learn how she came up with the idea at vpr.net. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.